Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Kingsley. So this weekend, President Donald Trump wrapping up his meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, with POTUS describing Japan as a great ally. So in your view, how does that jive with Trump's criticisms of Japan's trade and currency policies in the past?
Well, firstly, it's very welcome that President Donald Trump decided that he has at least one ally in the region. You know, previously he's dissed NATO and all but blew up the ANZUS alliance when the spat with the Australian Prime Minister. Look, in the circumstances, we had a live North Korean missile test in progress, and it really would have been foolish to say anything else. So it's extremely welcome that the President did make those comments concerning the Japan alliance. Possibly, in this case, State Department advice has prevailed. We would hope that that would continue in the future.
Now, in focusing on Japan's currency policies, you know, it's the weaker yen that's also giving Japanese corporates a more bullish outlook, with hundreds raising their earnings forecasts. So it appears that the positive Trump effect is not just limited to corporate America. What do you think?
Well, certainly. I mean, emerging markets have been strengthening for some time, and Japan exports all over the world. Certainly a weaker currency helps those exports. You know, the positive Trump effect on markets, so-called, it does appear to us to be substantially fictional. For instance, although gold stocks retreated in the day immediately after the election, they've actually recovered fully to the levels before, and indeed they've outperformed the S&P 500 by 14%. If you're judging presidents according to the performance of markets, then Russia has done a whole lot better than the United States since the election. So, you know, thinking in those terms, we would separate ourselves from the politics and say we actually think that the global rally we're witnessing across all markets, it's really about improving economic conditions in China and the emerging markets. And it doesn't hurt that the U.S. now is in a good part of their cycle with low unemployment and improving earnings. That's a great thing.
Now, given that headline from Abe's visit to the States, coupling that with Trump's recent phone call to Chinese President Xi Jinping, where POTUS agreed to honor the One China policy, what do you think? Are we starting to see a more pragmatic Trump in terms of foreign policy?
Well, we think it's still too early to tell. I mean, one swallow does not make a summer. For Trump to honor the One China policy after tweaking their nose on the call to Taiwan, it just may be a pause in the trading of diplomatic insults. It's really hard to tell with Trump right now since he does not seem to respect the conventional diplomatic behavior.
Still, when we zoom out to a more broader perspective here, you've got, say, Singapore's Committee on the Future Economy. Just last week, they spoke of a dark shift toward protectionism. So how much would a pragmatic foreign policy by the U.S., if it does become tangibly pragmatic, how much would that help to dispel those dark clouds toward protectionism?
Well, we would certainly echo the concerns of the Singapore Committee. I mean, a retreat into protectionism would be very, very bad for the world in general and for our region in particular, not only Singapore or Malaysia, but Australia as well. You know, pragmatism would dictate that the USA is really a nation with three arms of government defined by a constitution of separation of powers. So we need to see, in addition to executive orders coming from Trump, some engagement with Congress and business in general within the American political system about what the appropriate behaviors would be, less impulsive and more considered behavior. You know, on this front, you know, his reiteration of the desire to build a $20 billion wall with Mexico doesn't seem like a pragmatic solution to an immigration dispute to us. And his behavior in terms of antagonizing the president of Mexico when he could simply have negotiated with him equally does not seem to be a line of pragmatism. However, you know, he has changed his tune on the discussion with Japan and has had a cordial call with China. So pragmatic foreign policy may actually be on the mend and on the increase from the presidency of Donald Trump.
So now what tune do you think Donald Trump will be singing when his Canadian counterpart, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, meets up with him? You know, what kind of signs will you be looking out for? I would think that any prospects of renegotiations on NAFTA would feature highly on your radar, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, the meeting with Canada is really important since the Canadians, in our view, probably have the most to lose of any nation. We think the meeting will probably go well because we're really impressed with Mr. Trudeau, the Canadian president. I mean, he's charming, urbane, and incredibly intelligent. Whatever comes from this meeting is likely to result of a carefully considered Canadian plan with a view to U.S. interests.
So now, given all those themes we talked about, let's wrap up with a two-pronged question here. You know, firstly, you know, again, given what we have spoken about, how well are we able to then separate the politics from, say, you know, corporate prospects? And then broadly, you know, what's your risk outlook around global investments overall?
Well, in terms of global markets, market volatility is actually quite low. And as we reiterated earlier, the situation is we actually judge that the emerging markets recession is now over, and in fact we're going to see improving conditions. That's not only in China, it's also in Latin America and Central Europe. You know, the Austrian market is starting to rally, and that's a good proxy for conditions in Central Europe, and we've seen Latin American markets being strong. However, both gold and bond markets, having initially sold off, have started to rally some, so that signals some skepticism about the future of this economic sweet spot and perhaps the risk that there could be volatility going forward. In our view, the major risks really are currency volatility as a result of trade war talk and also the possibility of a political crisis in the United States, which would certainly be bad for global conditions. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty, but it's tough to kill this recovery right now because, in fact, the emerging markets do seem to be coming back. And we're actually quite positive on 2017.
All right, thank you so much for your time and your insights there. I've been speaking to Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer of Jevons Global in Sydney.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.